And with all honesty and sincerity, I say, pray for him as your pastor, that he might be able to do the Lord's work. This morning, if you're a visitor with us, as I am, I want to pray that you would feel comfortable here to be able to listen to the voice of God. Amen. Wherever you come from, whatever your background is, maybe you've been a member of church here for a long time, I hope that you feel like this is a place that you can hear God's voice and draw closer to the Lord. We're going to turn in the scriptures to Romans chapter 3, where we're going to take a reading lesson this morning. I'd like to ask if you would to get a Bible and turn there with me to Romans chapter 3. If you don't have one, get to the next person next to you, and we're going to read along in this scripture. As we read out of Romans chapter 3, I would like to ask if you would stand and give attention to the reading of God's word this morning as we read it. Romans chapter 3, starting in verse 19 and reading down to the conclusion of the chapter, to verse 31. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make the void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we do want to thank you for this good day that you've given us to be in your house. Lord, we want to thank you for salvation and for the time that you led us to personal faith in Jesus Christ. For the time, Lord, where you gave us your grace and began our walk, Lord, in this Christian pilgrimage. I want to pray, Lord, for the people in this congregation. I pray, Father, that you'd be with each one of them and the needs that they have. I pray, God, if there's any in here that are struggling with their sins, Lord, that you would forgive them this morning through your Son. We want to pray, Lord, if there's any that are struggling with sickness this morning, that you would heal them, Lord, and be their physician and their comforter. Father, those that are struggling with finances and are in trouble that way, I pray, God, that you would show them that you are the provider of all things and that if they'll turn to you, you will take care of them. I pray, Father, for each one that's in here, each heart. I pray, God, that you'll use me as a minister and a vessel, Lord, to preach your word. I pray that you would speak through me. And I pray that each of our hearts, Lord, this morning would be bent toward you, that we would have a soft heart listening to your voice. And I pray, God, that you would bless this service, that everything that's done here will be done to your honor and glory, and the exaltation of your Son's name. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. You might be seated. I'm going to reread the verse 28 of the lesson text this morning. It says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And that's Romans chapter 3, verse 28. I believe that salvation is so simple that even a wayfaring man can understand it. I think that today, and I know that religion has made salvation too complicated. has made it so complicated that people are always wondering, what must I do to be right with God? And they're going to places of worship and never getting the answer that they're looking for. This morning, our message is not to anybody in particular. I believe the Scripture speaks to all men. I believe in justification by faith alone. And that is going to be our message this morning, faith alone. To you, if you are lost in your sins this morning, if you are separated from God, you can be made right with God through genuine faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. And to you who are saved and have experienced the grace of God in your heart, you can have assurance of your salvation through the justification of being made right with God through faith alone. If I were saved by my works, and if I felt like I was right for God, from God or in the sight of God by my deeds, then I would always have cause to wonder and to doubt about my soul whenever I passed. But the Lord Jesus Christ saved me when I put my faith in Him, and I can trust Him because He is faithful to be trusted. So wherever you stand with God this morning, this message is for you. My advice is going to be the same to you as to anybody else. Wherever you stand before God, the answer is to fall at the feet of the cross and to trust Jesus with everything that you have. People come to me and they're confused about their salvation. I say, I don't know where you stand. That's between you and God. But I'll tell you this, if you'll put yourself at the feet of the cross and you'll trust Him, you'll find out. If you're lost and you say, I've tried everything and I can't get saved, try Jesus this morning and try trusting in what He did for you on Calvary and you shall be saved. You say, I can't believe. Then I say, pray, God, help me with my unbelief that I might trust You. I am thankful for the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ this morning. The text this morning is one of the most important pieces of Scripture that we have in our Bibles. I believe that all of the Bible is profitable. I don't believe that there's anything that's less important than the other, really. But this section of Scripture is so important to the way we view that God makes people right with Him. This Scripture here teaches us that we can be saved apart from the law, that we don't have to be completely obedient to the law in order to obtain forgiveness, but that salvation comes through Jesus Christ alone, through faith alone, by grace alone. And I am thankful today for the gospel that allows me as a sinner to come to Him and receive His forgiveness. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, for by grace you are saved. Are you saved? Through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. You know, there are a lot of people today in this world that are approaching God based on their own merit. And you may be one of them that feel like that you somehow have been good enough before God to be made right with Him. That word justification means to be made right with God. And I feel like there are a lot of people today and in churches and in religion that are trying to do their own righteousness or their own works to be able to get to heaven. That they are hoping that if they die and they have been good enough, that they will be able to enter in to a state of righteousness before God. But the Bible tells us explicitly that that is not so. In fact, in the first three chapters of Romans, if you'll read it, he spends diligent effort and takes incredible time to show us that we are all guilty before God. The Bible says that if you have sinned one time, that you are guilty of the entire law. The offense that comes with the law, through one sin, you have broken every one of them. And don't we do this? Well, I'm bad, I know I'm bad, but you know, this person over here is worse than me. And so you know what? If God's going to take that person and save them, you know, then I guess I'm all right. Friends, it does not depend on our works, but only on the grace of God through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Salvation is not dependent on your righteousness, but on God's righteousness that was given to us through what Jesus did for us, both corporately and personally in our hearts. So what is the purpose of the law? And so if salvation never comes through the law, if you cannot be good enough, that's what it means, that you can't do enough good deeds or be obedient enough to God's law to be saved, then how does, or what is the purpose of the law? If you look at verse 19 and 20 there in your scriptures, it says, "Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law." Now who is that? That's every one of us are under God's law. You know, it's not just the Jews that were under the Mosaic law, but God is a holy God. He is a moral God, and He has been since the very beginning, since before the beginning. In all eternity, God has been holy and completely moral, and we get our sense of right and wrong from Him. So all of us are under the law of God. None of us escape the law. You know, these things were written for us who are under the law. He says, why? That every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall be no flesh justified in His sight, for the law is the knowledge of sin. By God's grace, He sent us His law and His standards, His rules, to show us and demonstrate to us in a physical way His holiness, and that He has a set of standards that He goes by, and that all of us must attain that completely. Except every one of us that ever approached God with an honest heart knows that we never did come to God justified by those deeds. In fact, whenever we look at God's law, it is so perfect and it is so holy that when we measure ourselves against God's law, we are condemned, guilty before God, and our mouth is stopped. Who has an excuse before God? He sent the law that we might not have an excuse before God, that we might not be deceiving ourselves, thinking that we're good, but that we would trust in His propitiation in His Son. That we would not be deceived into thinking that we were actually inherently good, but that we would realize by looking at the law that we are sinful beings in need of a Savior. I told the guys in the prison, I'm doing a prison ministry, and it has just been such a blessing. I went in there the very first time, and some of those fellows that were in there, you would think they would be real sure about them being sinners. I mean, they've already been convicted by the courts of the United States and or the state of Oregon. And they've been brought there. But you know, when I first went in there, I asked them, "Do you believe that men are inherently good or inherently evil?" And they said, "I believe that men are inherently good," most of them. So we started reading in Romans. And by the time we got to the scripture I read to you, I asked them again. I said, "How many of you think that you're inherently good?" And nobody raised their hand. Don't you see that God gave us His word that we might realize that we're sinners because the devil is deceiving us into thinking we're good people? But God did not come and send His Son to save good people. He sent His Son to save sinners, that they might fall upon Him and His and what He did for them and His sacrifice and get saved. You know what it takes to be saved? You've got to be a sinner. What qualifications does it take to be saved? You have to come to God with a humble heart as a sinner. And if you come to Him as a righteous man, He will never receive you. But if you come to God as a sinner, He will receive you every time when your heart is genuine looking for that salvation and for faith in Him. Look at Romans chapter 7, verses 7 through 12. Paul speaking about the law. I think sometimes we get to thinking the law is bad. Oh boy, no, the law is good. I'm glad for God's law. As a sinner, I hated God's law. But as a righteous man saved by grace, I love God's law. It teaches us what's right. Let's not forget the law of God. Look what he says in verse 7 of chapter 7. He says, "What shall we say then? Is the law sin? God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin, but by the law. For I had not known lust, except the law had said, Thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence, or evil lusts. For without the law, sin was dead. For I was alive without the law once, but when the commandment came, sin revived, and I died. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me, and by it slew me. Wherefore the law is holy, and the commandment holy, and just, and good. Do you believe that this morning? I believe God's law is holy, and just, and good. And then we look at it as sinners, and you may not be very familiar with God's Word, and every time you hear about God's Word or God's law, you say it restricts me, or it's painful to me. Well, God sent that you might know that you're a sinner. The law is good if it is used lawfully. It was said in the Scriptures that as long as you use the law for the right thing, it's a good thing. The law is holy and just and good. It's just been misrepresented by men. Amen. The law is perfect. And you know, so many people come into this world and they think and they've been taught and they've been deceived that somehow through the law or by obedience or by being good enough or by following religion that you'll be saved. But God's Word says the purpose of the law is not to save. The purpose of the law is to show you that you're a sinner in need of salvation. He said, for no flesh, that's you, that's us, no flesh shall be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. So that's what the law is for. And if you've thought that being a Christian means being good enough, it's not. It's coming to God with a conviction in your heart that you know you are a sinner and looking and searching for only God's righteousness in Jesus Christ. And then God takes you and makes you a Christian. And He works in you and He leads you by your Holy Spirit, and it's a blessing. God revealed His righteousness apart from the law. Look at verse 21. It says, but now, before it wasn't made known. I mean, it was coming, and we knew it was coming. The Scriptures testified of it, but we didn't know it was coming. He said, but now, what's but now? But when Jesus Christ fulfilled the law, but now, the righteousness of God without the law or apart from the law is manifested or made known, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. You know, that word without means apart from. And I believe that God has revealed His righteousness apart from the law. And the word here says that it was made known to us, it was revealed to us in the death of Jesus Christ on Calvary. You want to know why Jesus Christ is the only way? It's because that was the way in which God revealed His righteousness, and He chose from the foundation of the world to set up a way for mankind, and He has made it known to us. We should praise God this morning that you're in this house and that you are hearing, or that you heard at one time, that Jesus Christ was the propitiation for your sins. That He was God's and is God's righteousness. Now there's a separation between God's righteousness and our righteousness. You see, He doesn't say that He's our righteousness, but Jesus Christ was God's righteousness. You know, when you go before God and you want to say, how can I be made right with God? You must have the righteousness of God inside you. It is not enough to try to bring your righteousness to God. You must have Jesus and God's righteousness in your heart. And the Bible says here it's manifest. It's made known. It's a revelation. God has revealed Himself to us, and we ought to praise God for that. If God didn't reveal His righteousness to us, we would be sinners like Sodom and Gomorrah. If God did not reveal His righteousness to us, we surely would die and perish and burn in everlasting fire for our sins. But God, by His grace, has made known to you that Jesus Christ is the only offering that He will receive. No offering of your own works will He receive, but He will receive Christ's offering. And He's calling out, He's saying, believe on Me. Trust Me. I've done it all. Trust in what I've done. Give your heart to Me. For that's the only way to heaven. That's the only way to receive God's righteousness. It pleased God that in Him should all fullness dwell. Have you ever been guilty of thinking that you were the thing that was good before God? I have. I've gotten that deception where I thought that I was the good thing. But when the Holy Spirit comes knocking on your heart's door, and you know that God is speaking to you, if it's truly God, what your reaction is going to be is humility. For you know that it is not your righteousness that God can receive, but only the righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ. God's righteousness, or being made right with God, only comes through a personal revelation of Jesus Christ to your soul through faith. If you look at verse 22, he says, here's the revelation. It was witnessed by the law and the prophets, but here's what it is. The righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Jesus and Abraham were together. And Jesus was spoken, or Abraham was looking at Jesus. Jesus was asked about Abraham. And he said, before Abraham was, I am. And they said, you're not yet 40 years old. How can you say that before Abraham was, I am? And he said, Abraham saw my day and he was glad. I believe that the law and the prophets were looking unto Jesus Christ, that he always has been the only way, that righteousness has always come through Jesus. And people were always looking to him and waiting for him to come. And then when he came, he said the prophets were until John. And John said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. And he said, this even the righteousness of God, that is by faith of Jesus Christ, upon all them that believe. You must have Jesus in your heart today. You must have salvation through him or by none other. How was Abraham made right with God? The Bible says that he believed and it was counted to him as if he were righteous. Abraham wasn't righteous. We look at Abraham and he said, they thought Abraham, the Jews, they thought Abraham was it. He was the best that they had. He said, think not to say within yourselves that you have Abraham as your father, for I say out of these very stones can God raise up children to Abraham. You see, Abraham wasn't so great. It was Jesus that was great. He says, the people of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment against this generation because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. But he said, a greater than Jonah is here. And even this very day, as you sit here in this congregation this morning, I lift up to you Jesus, and by faith in him, you can be saved. And this is the only way that you can find God's righteousness. And every one of us that have been saved, we found it through faith in Jesus Christ, or not at all. I'm not leaving out repentance, but you can't truly believe unless you turn or are turned by the Holy Spirit. You can't walk in your sins and believe on Jesus Christ. It just can't happen. You must repent of your sins and then trust in Jesus Christ of your Savior. You must turn from your ways and ask God to turn from your ways that you might be able to be saved. So faith includes repentance. I don't get it when people say they're Christians but they walk like the world. A faith without repentance isn't faith at all. And you know, that's a problem in our church today. People live like the world and say they're Christians. God forbid. May we believe it with all of our heart. Not just with our emotions, but with our whole life, our whole heart, our whole being, may it be given to Christ. But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. There is no difference between us people. All of us are on a level plane before God in front of Jesus Christ. Every one of us are on the same plane. You know, he said, for there is no difference. The righteousness comes by Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And I believe and I know that righteousness does not come based on your merit or where you come from, but it comes based on Jesus Christ. And our guilt doesn't come about how bad you are or how not quite as bad you are, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The opportunity is universal. And you may even be here this morning and saying, I'd like to be saved, but I just don't feel good enough. I just don't feel like God would receive me. Listen to my words this morning. God will receive you when you come with Him with a humble heart and you put your trust in Christ. He will. The opportunity is universal for everybody. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter where you came from. God will receive you when you come His way. And it doesn't matter how good you think you are. You're not right before God without Jesus' blood shed upon your heart. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the opportunity is universal. That the condemnation is universal. None of our works make a difference in the world. As far as salvation, we must trust in Christ. Heard somebody come to me. They said, well, I know I've been saved. They told me their testimony. Had a good testimony of salvation where they came and they got saved. The grace was put there. They said, you know, I live for the Lord. Then I fell away. I'm not sure I'm saved anymore. I qualified it with first, if you've ever been saved, first of all, is a thing you need to make sure of. But if you have been saved, your salvation is as secure as Jesus Christ is secure with the Father. Amen. That's the answer. You say, and usually what happens is people will either say, well, I can't be saved because I am this. Or I've done this. Or I should be saved because I've done this. May we remember that no person is justified by the deeds of the law, but only by faith in Jesus Christ. May we lift His name up as the Son of God. And the only, the author and finisher of our faith. The only thing we cling to, may we never forget that we are completely reliant upon Him for everything that we are. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. But he that abides in Him, and He in us, they will bear much fruit. You don't have to try to bear fruit for the kingdom. Stick close to Jesus. He'll bear the fruit. If we keep going here, we see that God made His own appeasement for His wrath. Every other religion in the world, it's called propitiation. And that word propitiation means an appeasement for wrath. Taking it away, but actually placing it on the object that's a propitiation. Every other religion in the world today, man has to come up with a propitiation. Has to come up with the appeasement for God's wrath. You know, I mean, so in the old days, in the times before, people would say, well, the idols and stuff like this, they would say, well, I have to do this for the idol that the idol might look favorably upon me. If I do this, then he'll return favor to me. And every religion that besides Christianity today is the same way. In Egypt, remember the Nile, how God just turned that to blood? He was showing them that the Nile had no efficacy. The Nile wasn't their god. But they believed with all their heart that they had to worship the gods of the Nile. And do everything, even just sacrifice children, that the god might be appeased. But you know, in the real gospel, God made His appeasement for man. It was God that had wrath on mankind. God had every reason to judge men for their sins. And instead of asking them to jump through hoops and to do this and to do that and try this out, He said, no, none of that will work. I'll send you my propitiation, which is Jesus Christ. Look on Him. Remember Moses and the serpent in the wilderness, he lifted it up. Then look to this, and you'll live. You see, God ordained the method to appease the wrath there. And in the same way, when Jesus was lifted on the cross, He became the appeasement for God's wrath by the grace of God, and we could have done it for ourselves. It says here, verse 24, it says, but being justified freely by His grace, the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. So in every other religion, men are trying to make appeasement with God's wrath. But in God's religion, in true religion, God is making appeasement for His own wrath and saying, you couldn't appease it, so I'll make that appeasement for you. And Jesus Christ is there on the cross. When He hung on that cruel cross of Calvary, God was giving you a way to be made right with Him. But how often we try to come to that cross with our own offerings. I'll do this for you, Lord. I'll work for you, Lord. And the Bible says, believe on the one whom God has sent. Oh, I know, but I'll try to do this. Don't depend on your own righteousness today. Depend on the righteousness of God. For God, out of His grace, instead of imputing the wrath to you, He has imputed it to His Son on the cross. And grace can be extended to everyone who believes on that name and on that what happened on Calvary. Remember the day it happened to me as an 8-year-old boy in my bed? I closed my eyes and it was darker than dark, and I was praying to Him. And I said, Lord, I don't have anything I can do. If I'm falling to hell, I just got to trust You'll catch me. And I said that in my heart, I didn't say it with my lips. And I mean, I just rested in His arms. And He saved my soul that day. Jesus, His pierced hands caught me there. And He was God's remedy for my sins. Amen. Salvation is completely by grace, through faith alone. I couldn't have done anything there. You say, were you bad? I was bad. What did you do? I broke the whole set of laws. I was a sinner. To declare, I say at this time, His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. God is a righteous judge. God will always judge sin. If you think that any deed is hidden before the eyes of God, it is not. He sees all things and He will righteously judge all things. He will be just. But you see, whenever Jesus was put on the cross there at Calvary, God was demonstrating His justice while He was also performing an act of grace and mercy. Because whereas we are sinners, no sin can be left unaccounted for. But Jesus took upon Himself all of our sins, and God placed His wrath on Jesus Christ, that God might be just and the justifier of them that believe on Jesus at the same time. People say, well, how come He lets some get away with sins and others He forgives them? Oh no, somebody had to pay the debt. Because God is just. Somebody had to pay that debt. And for those that are believers, those that have found grace, Jesus Christ paid the debt for your sins personally, and they were accounted for on the cross of Calvary. And that's why when you go before God, you can have assurance. Because it happened to you one day. God looked down upon you and He smiled. Not about your works, but because you were trusted in the one whom He had sent. Wouldn't it be a shame if God did something so great as sending Jesus and we tried to do it some other way? Like a thief or a robber trying to get in the back door to heaven? It won't happen. He comes through the door, through Jesus, or not at all. But where's boasting then? That's what Paul asks. He said, it is excluded. By what law? Of works, nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. If I were able to attain my own salvation, I would have something to boast about. And heaven would be some kind of weird place if that were the case, because everybody would say, you know, look what I did to get into heaven. Look what I did to get here. But you know, nobody that's there is going to be saying that. They're all going to be looking to the Lamb of God and saying, look what He did for me. Glory and honor and praise and blessings be to the Lamb. I'm afraid that there are a lot of people in this world, maybe in this room, that you are trusting in something besides Christ for your salvation. I want to encourage you to fall at the cross and ask for mercy where it's abundant. I want to conclude with this. He said, is He not the God? Is He the God of the Jews only? Is He not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also, seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. And look what He says in verse 31. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. I believe that justification is by faith alone, but I don't believe it's by a faith that is alone. For I believe once a person truly trusts in Christ for salvation, they truly get saved, I believe that He changes the way they live. That if He truly is born again from above, that you're not going to live like you did when you were a sinner. And we've got too many people in this world saying they're saved by grace, but they're living like the world. And I'm thinking that's a different Jesus than the one I read about in the Scriptures. For He said, go and sin no more. He gave them forgiveness. They didn't have to be good to get forgiveness, but He turns them around and He says, now go and be different. You're the salt of the earth, the light of the world. He said, a city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. But He said, if the salt has lost its saltiness, what good is it? Just to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men? What cure is there for rotting meat? Salt. But what cure is there for bad salt? If the gospel doesn't change you, nothing will. And if you say, I've tried religion and I'm just still a filthy old sinner, I can't do right, I want to do wrong, my desires haven't changed, I say, go back to Jesus. Get grace in your heart that you might be able to live the walk that you're professing. That you might say, I've been born from above and I'm different now. And I tell you what, Jesus will do that. He will transform your life. He will make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. And I tell you, that's what we have to have. That transformation, that change in our heart and our soul and our life to where we're not the same person we were as a sinner, but we're a new man in Christ. And we can say, yeah, I was the chiefest of sinners. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Jesus Christ came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know what Paul said? Yeah, I was a sinner. I was living a wretched life, but Jesus met me on the road to Damascus and turned my world upside down, changed my life. We need conversion today. A change in the heart, a change in the life, that God's people might be able to proclaim this gospel to the world, and we can see a change in our world today. And the judgment begins in the house of God. Amen. I want to encourage you in your life, wherever you stand, seek Christ. Wherever you are, you say, well, I've been saved for years, but I feel cold. Seek Christ. You say, I've been saved just a short time. I don't know how to live for the Lord. Seek Christ. You say, I have never been saved. And I'm lost and I am condemned this morning. Seek Christ, for He's our only hope. Let's have a song. And as we sing a song, I want to encourage you, if you need to pray, whoever you are, wherever you are with the Lord, if you want to come to this altar and pray, this is a time of invitation, a time of prayer. We come to the house to worship God. No hurry here. If you want to pray, we'll pray with you. But search your heart before God this morning.